भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 एंटाइटल्ड द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल टेक्स्ट 56 एंड 57। अयम हि श्रुतसंपन्न शीलवृत्तगुणालयः धृतव्रतो मृदुर्दान्तः सत्यवान् मंत्रविच्छुचिः गुरु अग्नि अतिथि वृद्धानां शुश्रुषुरनहंकृतः सर्वभूत सुरत साधु मतवाक अनसूयकः। अयम् ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। इन द बिगिनिंग दिस ब्राह्मणा नेम्ड अजामिल स्टडीड ऑल द वैदिक लिटरेचर्स। He was a reservoir of good character, good conduct, and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful. He knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, and he was also very pure. Ajamil was very respectful to his spiritual master, the fire god, guests, and the elderly members of his household. Indeed, he was free from false prestige. He was upright, benevolent to all living entities, and well-behaved. He would never speak nonsense or envy anyone. Purport. The order carriers of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, are explaining the factual position of piety and impiety, and how a living entity is entangled in this material world. Describing the history of Ajamil's life, the Yamadutas relate that in the beginning, he was a learned scholar of the Vedic literature. He was well-behaved, neat and clean, and very kind to everyone. In fact, he had all good qualities. In other words, he was like a perfect Brahmana. A Brahmana is expected to be perfectly pious, to follow all the regulative principles, and to have all good qualities. The symptoms of piety are explained in these verses. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya comments that Dhrita Vrata means Dhritam Vratam Stri Sangha Rahityatmaka Brahmacharya Rupam. In other words, Ajamil followed the rules and regulations of celibacy as a perfect Brahmachari, and was very soft-hearted, truthful, clean, and pure. How he fell down in spite of all these qualities and thus came to be threatened with punishment by Yamaraj will be described in the following verses. In the beginning, this Brahmana named Ajamil studied all the Vedic literatures. So before I begin, I would like to seek blessings and permission from His Grace Jananivas Prabhu and other assembled Vaishnavas. So over here, in these two famous verses, Ajamil's Brahminical qualities is enlisted. And guess who is enlisting these qualities? The Yamadutas. So before they will begin to explain what happened with Ajamil, they are speaking of the wonderful life of Ajamil which he was leading before he fell from his position. And they are explaining how astute in his Brahminical position Ajamil was. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in spite of all of this piety, Ajamil, he was meted out with that punishment that he had to see the Yamadutas about to take into hell. And we see also that in our life, when we may have all of our principles of sadhana bhakti apparently being followed, we may have our roadmap of sadhana bhakti for the spiritual world very well mapped out. But still, even if you have your roadmap, when you take the journey, you may find that there will be traffic jams, accidents, road repairs, or even bomb blasts. So, Ajamil, over here, yes, it appears that everything was mapped out for Ajamil in these two verses. But just few verses from this, we'll see how there is a big, huge blast in his life. And everything turned topsy-turvy, upside down. Now, because Ajamil had this background of being such a wonderful Brahmana, when he saw that scene, at least he was battling to take it out from his mind, because he had this background. But nowadays we see people are battling to see such scenes in Kali Yuga. This is the situation of people born in this age. As Deomar Swami was explaining when he came some time ago, that we in this age of Kali Yuga, we can't just depend merely on our piety. Gone are the days when we would be depending merely on our piety and all these qualities which is enlisted over here. Because in Kali Yuga, the material energy is not just merely material energy. She's in her full form. And therefore, unless we are very much serious and focused in our Krishna consciousness, which, as Jnanivas Prabhu explained yesterday so wonderfully, it's like the hammer of the blacksmith, ek lohar ki. So this might be like saw sunar ki, all the different hammerings of a goldsmith. But Krishna consciousness is like the blow of a blacksmith. But in order to have that blow properly, we have to hold the hammer properly. We may have to use the proper force. Otherwise, we may hit ourselves. So therefore, in this age of Kali Yuga, especially when it comes to religious principles, especially when it comes to moral principles, we see how people, they just put up such a big show of being religious, of being moral. And mundane morality is something which is considered to be absolute spirituality. I was hearing one tape of Deomar Swami in which he was explaining. He was in Australia, and one South Indian Orthodox Brahmin family approached him with a problem. So they reported that their son, who had an affair with someone there in Australia, some Indian girl, had made that girl pregnant out of wedlock. Now that was not the problem for them. So then they were suggested that, so this has been happened now, they should get married. The problem was that the girl was not from a Brahmin family. So therefore, they couldn't, you know, marry each other. So Maharaj said, by the way, Brahmanas do not do such kind of things. First of all, you should know that. So what was the problem seen? The problem was that the girl was not from a Brahmin family, therefore. So in this age of Kali Yuga, this mundane morality is like, the example is given, is like a prostitute wearing a Mangal Sutra. Maybe Ajamil's wife might be wearing. Now if a prostitute is wearing a Mangal Sutra, what is the use of that Mangal Sutra? Or it's like, you know, somebody going to a restaurant and they have this Jain food, which is without onion garlic. So he's ordering, give me a Jain chicken soup. It should be without onion garlic. Our Damodar Dulal Prabhu was telling this story. When he was in Paris, one couple came. And, you know, they were following this principle of not eating onion and garlic. So he was there in that restaurant working. And, you know, the husband was, you know, pressing very much, you know, to find out whether in this preparation, is there any onion and garlic. So after a long time, he was convinced that this is without onion and garlic and you can have it. You know, whatever principles you follow will be intact. So finally he had it. And later on, he overheard the discussion between the husband and wife. The husband was discussing with the wife and having some kind of argument because he wanted to visit the local brothel to satisfy himself because Paris is famous for that. So they were haggling over whether he should go or not, after following the principle of eating no onion garlic. So this is the age of Kali Yuga, wherein we see piety is something which people are so far away from, actual piety also. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that when people claim that I am born in a Brahmin family and therefore my claim to become a Brahmin is first, and therefore the title of a Brahmin should be given to me. So very wonderfully Prabhupada puts up this logic that if somebody claims himself to be born in a Brahmin family, so when that person was born, along with that person, there were many germs and insects, viruses and bacteria, which were also born from the same womb. They also came out along with his body. So they are also sahodar, from the same udar. They are also sahodar of that so-called Brahmin. So then, these germs, insects and bacteria should also be given the sacred thread and given the title, say Chaturvedi or Shukla or Sharma, whatever. You know, bacteria Chaturvedi, virus Shukla. So they should also be given this title because they are also born from the same womb. So this is, you know, this self-made morality. As our Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives the example, saw that cartoon of a person who was shooting on a target, and every shot he was hitting the bullseye. And then when he was asked that how was he doing that, every shot was the bullseye. So he would always shoot on a blank target. And wherever the shot was, then he would paint the bullseye around it. And therefore, every shot was like appeared to be hitting the bullseye. So similarly, people in this world, they do something out of their whims and fancies, and then they paint a picture of being moral or being pious. I was told just yesterday was that, or day before yesterday was that Gatari Amavasya, where people stack up with all kinds of sinful ingredients for the whole month so that they don't have to worry so much for the whole month because they have enjoyed so much just a day before. And of course, it's waiting after the month. And in the meantime, they'll have the tang of being very pious also. So over here, Ajamil, and this was from the previous age, we're not talking of Kaliyuga, Ajamil, who had this background of being so pious, having all these qualities, we can't even imagine someone having one of these qualities in its totality. What to speak of all of these qualities Ajamil was having simultaneously. And still Ajamil fell from that position. We also have the example of Saubari Muni. What kind of background Saubari Muni had. What kind of sense control he had. He was performing austerities underwater. He was performing Nirjala underwater. We have difficulty performing Nirjala here on land. He was performing Nirjala underwater. Not just Nirjala, but Nirvayu also. He was not even breathing. And which waters? Jamuna. The most sacred of all waters, Jamuna. He was under the waters of Jamuna performing those austerities. And Ajamil, of course, saw some human beings engaged in that act. Saubari Muni just saw some fishes copulating. And that invoked that desire within his heart to enjoy like those fishes. And Saubari Muni, after he enjoyed, we know that story how he enjoyed not just one but 50 daughters of the king Mandhata. And after enjoying them for such a long span of time, Saubari Muni, it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, he was sitting one day alone and he was thinking, reflecting what he was and what has become of him. And in a beautiful verse, he's speaking, which has been registered for all time to come in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Saubari Muni is speaking, Aho imam pashyata me vinasham tapasvina satcharitra vritasya antarjale varichara prasangat prachyavitam brahmadhritam chiram yat. He's saying, Aho imam pashyata me vinasham. Just see my fallen condition. Everyone should see my fallen condition, he's saying. Pashyata me vinasham. Tapasvina sat charitra vritasya. I had such sat charitra. And what kind of tapasya I was performing under waters. What kind of vrata I had taken. But in spite of all of this, I just fell prey to some fishes. Antarjale chari vara prasangat. I just fell prey to some fishes. And then Srila Prabhupada writes in the translation, Saubari Muni is making this declaration that everyone should observe my fall down and should learn from it. And he's publicly speaking to everyone for all time to come that they should observe his fall down and they should learn from it. So this was Saubari Muni who had performed such austerities, but still he also fell prey to that particular victim, became a victim of lust. And of course in future verses, Yamadutas will now give a longer list of the sinful life of Ajamil. These were just two verses. Now Yamadutas will go on speaking and giving a longer list of the sinful life of Ajamil. And we see when Vishnudutas come to defend Ajamil, they are not defending on the basis of these two verses today we are discussing. Herein we can see how Krishna consciousness supersedes any kind of piety. That when the Vishnudutas, they came, they were defending Ajamil on the basis of when Ajamil just chanted Narayan, those four syllables at the time of his death. And the same Srimad Bhagavatam explains otherwise also that when a person is dying and if he is thinking that let me take help of my family members, Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Saineshu Asachvapi Tesham Pramatta Nidanam Pashyan Api Na Pashyati. So Srimad Bhagavatam says that when a dying person thinks that my family members will help me, this is his biggest illusion. Because they are fallible soldiers. So Srimad Bhagavatam at one place says that taking shelter of fallible soldiers is foolish, is stupidity. But herein we see Ajamil is glorified for being taken shelter of which family member? You know, the most feeble, the most weak and incapable of all of his family members, his just born baby, his son. So what made the difference when Srimad Bhagavatam says that it is foolish to take shelter of family members? They are fallible soldiers. And Ajamil took shelter of his son. But because there was the Narayan element in between, that made the difference. And Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the purports, Ante Narayana Smriti. Because of that, Ajamil was saved. It was not essentially because of his son. It was because of the Narayan element involved. And Acharyas explain that this phrase which is so popular, Ante Narayana Smriti, from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it doesn't just refer to thinking of Lord Narayan at the time of death. Because Anta also refers to what we do and what is the conclusion. Like we have the word Vedanta. So Anta also refers to end, and Alta also refers to conclusion of whatever we do. So it's not just at the time of death we have to think of Narayan. Ante Narayana Smriti refers to whatever we do, the conclusion should be Lord Narayan. In all of our activities, the conclusion should be Lord Narayan. And that refers to Ante Narayana Smriti. Maharaj Kulashekar, in a beautiful verse, he explains that how, even though we might be engaged in so-called pious activities within this material world, but if the conclusion is not Narayan, then whatever we may do, what to speak of sinful activities? He's speaking of pious activities. If the conclusion is not Lord Narayan, then all of that is just Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. So in a beautiful verse he explains, Amnaya Bhyasananya Ranya Ruditam Veda Vritanyan Vaham Medas Cheda Falani Purta Vidhaya Sarvam Hutam Bhasmani Tirthanam Avagahanani Chagaja Snanam Vinayat Padam Dvandvam Bhoruha Samsmritim Vijayate Devasanarayana. So Maharaj Kulashekar is enlisting the various pious activities which people are engaged in. Amnaya Abhyasanani. People who are engaged in reading the Vedic scriptures. But if the conclusion is not Ante Narayana Smriti, conclusion is not Narayana, then it is like Aranya Ruditam. It is like someone who is just shouting and loudly crying out in the wilderness of forest. Bhakti Bring Govind Maharaj, when he was a brahmachari, he was in Andhra Pradesh, and one life member invited him and other brahmacharis to perform some kirtan in a Bhagavat Saptah which he had arranged. So there was a professional kathakar who had come, and devotees had to sing Hare Krishna in between. So they went, and then after the katha, that life member wanted that these devotees should be introduced to the kathakar. So he took them to the kathakar, and Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj at that time, Ayodhyapati Prabhu, he asked the kathakar that which section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is your favorite? And he slammed the book and said that this book has nothing in it. So Maharaj said, so all this while you have been speaking nothing? So he became a little annoyed when he heard that. He said, what do you mean? So many people come to listen to me. Did you not see thousands of people were sitting? So he said, oh, that means that thousands of people were sitting and listening to nothing. And this is what is your conclusion of reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, saying that there is nothing in this book. So Maharaj Kulashekar is saying, Amnaya Abhyasananya Aranya Ruditam, that a person who is simply reciting the Vedic scriptures, but he doesn't know the conclusion of the Vedic scriptures, which is Narayana Smriti. It is simply crying out in the wilderness of forest. And then he further says that people perform such Veda Vratas, Vratas which are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures again, severe austerities and penances and taking vows. But again, if the conclusion is not Narayana, it is like Medas Cheda, that some fat from the body is reduced simply by performing these severe penances. That is the only result which comes out if conclusion is not Narayana. Simply some weight is reduced, some Medas, some fat from the body is gone off. That is the only result of performing these vrata if conclusion is not Narayana. And further he says, Sarvam Hutam Bhasmani. If performing Vedic yagyas, if the conclusion is not Narayana Smriti, then it is simply pouring of butter on ashes. Sarvam Hutam Bhasmani. And we have the Yagic Brahmanas. When Krishna sent his cowherd boyfriends, in fact, the cowherd boyfriends first, they asked Krishna that we are very hungry. And acharyas explain that actually they were concerned with Krishna. They were thinking that Krishna, all day long he's playing with us, he hasn't eaten anything, so Krishna might be feeling hungry. But he will not ask for himself. So therefore, we'll become selfish. So this is the nature of pure devotees, that they don't mind taking any blame name on them. So they ask Krishna that we are feeling very hungry. Kindly do something about that. And Krishna, he told them to go and approach these brahmanas who were performing the yagya. And when they approached, they saw that they were utterly neglected by these brahmanas. So, sarcastically, these cowherd boys, they called these brahmanas as dharma vittama. That you are supposed to know dharma, and what is the ultimate knowledge of dharma or the Vedas? The conclusion is Narayana. And here is Narayana who is asking for what you are performing this yagya for. And still they were neglected, so they called them as dvija, which referred to dvija, of course we know, one who is twice born, one who is born again as a brahmana. But they sarcastically told them dvija, referring to that you are born of just two people, male and female. That is the only qualification you have, dvija, born of two. Otherwise you don't have any other qualification of being a twice born brahmana. And then of course, when they came back to Lord Krishna, reporting their Sankirtan scores, that nothing, today. We didn't get anything. So then Krishna sent them again to ask from the wives. Now, one might ask that, why did Krishna not at the first place send them to ask from the wives of the Brahmanas? The first reason that Krishna wanted to prove this point, how ritualistic activities, they can never make one surrender to Krishna in completeness. It's only pure love which begins with hearing and chanting, because the wives of the Brahmanas were hearing all the time about the glories of Krishna. Can one surrender fully unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And also, if they would have at the first place asked the wives would have immediately left and there would be a big commotion over there. So to avoid that, Krishna first sent them to ask from the husbands and then from the wives. And then when the husbands came to know that real devotees or real spiritualists are actually our wives, and they started condemning themselves. So Maharaj Kulashekar is saying that people who are performing yajnas without this understanding of Ante Narayana Smriti, the conclusion being Narayan, they are simply pouring ghee on ashes, which will create some smoke and nothing else, which will blacken their consciousness and also their physical bodies. And then he is saying that a person who goes to some Tirthasthan just to take some bath, and he thinks that by bathing I'll become purified, I'll become sinless, and he doesn't have the mentality to surrender unto Lord Narayan or Ante Narayana Smriti again, then that is simply Gajasnan. And we have this example in this very canto, Kunjara Shauchavat. Shukdev Goswami or Parikshit Maharaj is giving this example, that what is the use of that atonement, that when it's like the bathing of an elephant. And finally, Maharaj Kulashekar is saying in that verse that just by coming in front of Lord Narayan with folded hands and with a pure heart, surrendering one's consciousness, Dvandvam Bhoruha Samsmriti Vijayate, he can cross over this Samsmriti, this birth and death of this material world, and can achieve not just liberation but the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. And this is the glory of devotional service over mere piety which one might perform. And therefore, in that beautiful verse it is said, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura, that a person who has bhakti, he has all the good qualities of all the devatas. Samasate surah. Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, he was speaking in Gita Nagari. We were there last year. And he was asked some question about surrender to spiritual master. And he narrated some incident from his own life that how just by surrendering to the words and instructions of spiritual master, how all good qualities come. So being born in Russia, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, when he was a brahmachari, he didn't know a single word of English language. In fact, the only words he knew, because as a brahmachari, he was told that you should remember these two words only very carefully, money and woman, be careful. So only these two words he knew, the English language. So he wrote to Srila Prabhupada that I would like to seek some instructions from you. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, read all of my books. And at that time, all the books were in English. So he was confused that, now, how can I read? Because all the books are in English and I don't even know this language. So again, he wrote back to Srila Prabhupada, again asking for, maybe Prabhupada might give some other instructions which I can follow. And again Prabhupada wrote the same line, and now he underlined, read all of my books. So then he decided that Srila Prabhupada has instructed me twice and I have to follow this instruction. So he took a dictionary and he didn't even know from the English language, you are saying, what the, you know, is, it, that, all these words also he didn't even know what it meant. So practically every word, he would look into the dictionary, the meaning, and then try to understand what Prabhupada was writing. And like that, he read practically all the books of Prabhupada. And then of course, by the time he finished all those books, he learned English language simultaneously. And then he was saying that just a week ago, he gave a 2-hour lecture in the Harvard University in the English language. And this was all by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, whatever qualifications or in this Kali Yuga, it's all disqualifications. In fact, in the previous ages, unless a person would pass through the Varnashram system, there was no question that he could come to pure devotional platform. So we have a conception that somebody was there acting like cats and dogs on the street and now he's here and performing activities on the platform of pure devotional service. But in previous ages, this would never happen. It is only by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one day we were there on the street acting like animals, and the next day we are just thrown in the association of devotees and performing pure devotional service. Now in previous ages, like we read the example of Ajamil and Saubari Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, because they had that background of Varnashram, so even though they might slip, they at least had, you know, something to fall back on. But in our case, what do we have if we are not chanting Hare Krishna? What background do we have? Simply, our background was watching some nonsense movies, frivolous sports, and unmentionable activities. So if not for Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is our background to fall back on. So therefore, we should not be so much proud that yes, I have been saved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and therefore now everything is rosy. It will be a rosy way back home, back to Godhead. If we are not careful and if we slip back, then the only thing which we have to hold on to is all those things. So therefore, then it behooves on us to become so serious. And I was just reading a letter which Srila Prabhupada wrote to one very senior devotee at that time who had some problems and was planning to leave the Krishna consciousness movement. And this letter is, Srila Prabhupada is writing such strong words. In fact, when that devotee, he read this letter, he was totally shaken. And in fact, later on, he came back to Krishna consciousness again. And what Srila Prabhupada wrote in this letter, I would like to just read out as it is. Very powerful words. This is a letter to a very big devotee who had disappointed him and had caused some problems and was planning to leave. Srila Prabhupada writes, "I had given you a chance to be such a big and valuable instrument of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his glorious Krishna consciousness movement. I gave you a chance to play such a key role in spreading his movement. Now I am hearing so many things that you are doing, and you should know how forlorn it has made me." Prabhupada is using that word. How forlorn it has made me. "But I know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will send me another right person to spread his Krishna consciousness movement." And this line is something very powerful, Srila Prabhupada wrote. "If not you, somebody else. You could have taken the credit, but now somebody else will take it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is more greater than our silly conditionings." So, if we are not careful, if we are careful, we can also be one of the most valuable instruments in this glorious movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of our silly conditionings, if we are not careful, then we might lose that opportunity. And it's not that if we slip, the movement will be hampered or impeded, as Prabhupada is writing. If not you, somebody else will take that credit. I gave you the opportunity and you lost it. But the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go on. Ashla Prabhupada, in a letter he wrote to Dhananjay Prabhu, that even if this Krishna consciousness movement is totally shut down, there is not even a single devotee, no temples, nothing. Srila Prabhupada writes in that letter, because my books are there, out there, there will be someone who will read my book and can start all over this movement of Hare Krishna again. This is the power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada said, that if we just stick on to this Krishna consciousness movement and be focused and fixed, we can become the most valuable instrument. Otherwise, somebody else will take the credit. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Any comments, Prabhuji?